Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before it, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Well, hello everybody. It's Les Kirkendall Barrett and it is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we discuss movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
I am actually back in Los Angeles. I've been traveling for a while. I'm back at my messy desk. And it feels good to be back in familiar surroundings. Well, I'm here for a week anyway.
Is it hard to get adjusted because you were having cocktail parties in your honor and all that stuff was going on, and now you come back to your messy desk? Or is it just like kind of relaxing?
Well, actually, I got back on Sunday, and the first thing I did, I literally came back, was home for an hour, and we went to two pool parties.
Thrown in your honor?
No, not in my honor.
Wow, it's too bad.
What is it like to be back amongst us mere mortals, Les?
Well, yes. It feels great.
Okay, good. Welcome back.
Ooh, that's good.
Anywho,
well, I do have some news. Some Black China news.
Now, the Black China Report.
All right, well, Black China's mom, Tokyo Toni, has accused Wendy Williams of using cocaine.
What?
Apparently recently on the Wendy Williams show, Ms. Williams was talking about her situation with Tokyo Toni, and that, you know, Tokyo Toni had hugged her and said, you know, thank you and different things like that. But Tokyo Toni did not take this well, and she said, and I quote, this is from Instagram Live as reported to Page Six. She said, Wendy is so gone that when I see her, I'm going to knock her face off. When I see you, bitch, I'm going to get a charge. I'm going to bust your ass, she continued. You said I cried? When I walked in, you was sniffing coke. Hey, oh, eyes was big. You hug me, because I ain't no sucker. A rep for the Wendy Williams show did not comment, and the rep and the host did not return Page Six's request for comment.
Now, I actually watched that Wendy Williams episode.
Where she was doing a line of coke? Wait, what?
No, when she was talking about Tokyo Toni.
After the break,
I'm doing a bump. No, she was talking about Tokyo Toni and talking about, because she's very good friends with Black China.
Right.
And so
Black China.
She didn't say anything disparaging about Tokyo Toni. Black China and Tokyo Toni are now like feuding again, but I guess that's common.
Right.
But she didn't say anything bad. She just said that Tokyo Toni like hugged her because they showed a clip of Tokyo Toni yelling at Black China and telling Black China that she was going to kick her ass. So,
right.
So she said that in response to the video that was shown. So she didn't say anything disparaging, though. I didn't think that was disparaging.
Well, Tokyo Toni's angry.
Well, Tokyo Toni's saying disparaging things.
Yeah.
Yes, she certainly is.
Because we all know that Wendy Williams has had battles with her sobriety lately. So that's a pretty big accusation to level at someone, you know.
Yeah.
Without receipts.
this is serious news.
I know.
When you both started this podcast, did you ever think, you know what, in a year from now, we're going to be on a regular basis, be giving updates on the life of Black China?
Black
no,
China.
No, I didn't know who Black China was.
I know.
Yeah.
See, Kurt, you learn things.
I feel like I'm in a relationship with Black China, and I'm just discovering new things every week.
Actually, Black China sounds like she's kind of fun.
Oh, they all sound like fun because they're all off the rails.
Right.
Kurt Fitzpatrick hyphen China. Right. I think there's a ring to that. There was also very recent news out of Us Weekly, but this isn't as exciting. It's that Black China revealed which Kardashian kid which one was Dream's favorite cousin? This is 8 hours ago from reported by Us Weekly.
Dream is Black China's kid. With Rob Kardashian, okay.
And Black China's kid's Dream's favorite cousin is Baby True. Somebody named their kid True.
Is that one of Kanye
and Kim's
kids?
Khloe Kardashian.
That's Khloe's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson named their kid True because they're big fans of True TV, I guess. Or the Spandau Ballet song, True.
I think it's maybe the spelling of the Spandau Ballet song.
Yes, it's spelled like that, yes. Yeah. True, da-na-na-na-na. The reality show guessed that this was the case because the little ones are so close to age. But then I came across this Tokyo Tony.
Oh, wait. So that wasn't it wasn't actual news to begin with, but that wasn't even confirming that Dream's favorite cousin is True. That was just Black China speculating that her child's favorite cousin may be True.
It isn't True. Isn't Dream only like 2 years old or something like that? She's not that old.
Yeah, I think she's pretty young.
I have in this report, they reported that Baby True is 15 months old. I don't know how old Dream is.
So they're around the same age.
Yeah. Anyway, this was breaking news. This was the headline. This was the top. That was the top Black China news. And Tokyo Tony, eyes was big. That was right beneath it. There's probably something beneath that, too. Black China is a gold mine for news items.
Kurt, how many times a day does your phone buzz violently because you're getting that Google alert that there is more Black China news?
Is Walter Cronkite still alive?
No.
Because
he specifically died so that he could roll over in his grave over what journalism has become.
Because this is news. If he was alive and doing the news, he would have to report this.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly.
He literally had a rotisserie installed in his casket so it could keep him turning while all of this is going on in our world.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Roger Mudd.
Dan Rather still. Yeah.
He is, yeah.
Yes.
He's feisty.
Dan Rather could be reporting this.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad to be carrying on the torch, you know, from Walter Matthau to Dan Rather.
Walter Matthau.
What's his name? Walter Mondale. No, what's this guy's what did I just say? Walter, I forget his name now.
Walter
Cronkite. Walter Cronkite. To Dan Rather.
Walter Disney.
And now me.
To Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Walter Disney, yeah.
Okay, so we watched a movie this week.
We did, and it took some work for us to figure out what we were going to watch.
It was quite the.
It was like 1 o'clock in East Coast. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were like going back and forth. There was Killer Grandma. There was a movie with Paula Abdul we were going to do.
Which I need to find that movie just because, you know, it sounded really good.
You want to watch that Just Cause?
Especially with Paula Abdul playing a cop.
I got excited about that one because, A, I love Paula Abdul. She played at Gay Pride here in LA this year, and she was actually really, really good. But B, when we were watching Paul Abdul at Gay Pride, I asked aloud, does MC Scat Cat have a Twitter?
That's a good question.
Do you remember who MC Scat Cat is, Kurt?
I do, yeah. Yeah, Opposites. Yeah. Was that the song Opposites Attract?
Yeah, Paula's number one song, Opposites Attract. Yeah, yeah. The co-singer-rapper on that song was a cartoon cat in the video called MC Scat Cat. And at the time, the song was so big that the record label announced that MC Scat Cat was going to be coming out with a debut album.
Did he?
Never happened. Never happened.
Never happened.
So MC Scat Cat, at the time I asked that question, did not have a Twitter account. MC Scat Cat does now have a Twitter account.
Well, there you go.
You may have instigated that.
There you go.
I didn't instigate it. I created the account.
He started it.
Oh.
There you go.
Now, does he have followers? Well,
just like two or three. So if anyone wants to follow MC Scat, S-K-A-T, Cat, C-A-T, feel free.
Right.
I always thought that was
it's a parody account.
Fair to... I always thought it wasn't fair to whoever was actually singing in that song. Like, wasn't there like a real performer doing that and they just decided to have a cartoon?
I don't know this for sure, but I think that the singer was in this band called The Family Stand, who produced that album, who produced the or not that album, they produced the next album, the one with Rush Rush on it and Vibology. I think it was someone from that band.
So they were making money anyway, though. Yeah. They produced like Rush Rush and
huge
Rush Rush.
Hurry, never come.
Was it Keanu Reeves in one of her videos?
In the Rush Rush video,
She was in Rush.
And it was like, Paula was so big at that point that it was like a 12-minute video that they're like, oh, Paula's huge. We'll give her some money.
Right.
Hmm.
Paula. So
she's one of those rare performers who had two acts. She was a pop singer, and then she disappeared, and then American Idol.
Right.
Yeah.
She got a second act.
And wasn't she a cheerleader? She was
a Laker girl.
A Laker girl.
Yeah.
She's a Laker girl and huge choreographer.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, she did that. Well, maybe three. Could we say 3X?
Yeah. And I believe she was a temp that did some late filing and answering phones. That's
Hey, we're up to four.
She worked at Mr. Softy serving ice cream.
Listen, people at home, the only reason why the only reason why Jason knows what Mr. Softy is I told him right before we went on the air. He didn't know what Mr. Softy.
I had heard of it
growing up. They go around in a truck. They go around in a truck.
And abduct your children. Okay.
I'm chained up in the back of a Mr. Softy truck right now.
Broadcasting it's very nice live, that they let you set up China to do news. The podcast while you're their captor.
They let me do it. I have to get the Black China news out. Walter Cronkite's dead.
It's very important.
Walter Matthau. He's dead too, I think. We don't know.
It's very important that I get that information out. I have people waiting.
SOS, but let's talk about this movie.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, you have to get to this.
Switch at Christmas.
So, oh, God. We didn't even start yet. Oh, my God.
Switch at Christmas. Now, I got to tell you guys, you know how I love makeover movies?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
number two on my list is a twins pulling a caper movie.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's see what you think of this one.
This is a Hallmark movie from 2 years ago.
Yes. Candace Cameron Bure plays twins.
Mm-hmm.
So we start out. We are in Littleton, Colorado, and we see Candace. She wakes up. She's in bed with her dog, you know, and then we cut
And full-on, like, Christmas garb already, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, just all Christmased out.
It said Happy the Dog was in this movie.
Yeah.
In the opening
the dog
credits.
Got Billy.
And
the
Happy the Dog.
Right. Well, no. The dog, look, he's making money. I'm sure he's happy.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Denver, and then we see Candace Cameron Bure, but she's fabulous. And she gets out of bed, and she has, like, this sleek apartment.
No signs of Christmas anywhere.
Right. Nope. Nope. And then...
they're playing Baby, It's Cold Outside, too. That's a controversial song now.
It is.
Did you see Baby, who was the co-singer of that song, that version?
Was Avril Lavigne.
It was Avril Lavigne, yeah. Was
the woman, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, that was last year, right? And that, like, stirred up a lot of controversy.
It's been going on for a few years now.
So then we see Candace. We see Dowdy Candace. And
oh, see, I called her Christmas Candace, and the other one City Candace.
See, I called
Country Twin and City Twin. That's how creative I got.
Because I called her Dowdy Candace and Fabulous Candace.
I do love that we all had nicknames to tell them apart. Because this movie wasn't super hard to follow, but as I messaged you guys earlier today, it was super hard to take notes because you'd have to explain in the notes so you remember for reference later that, oh, this is Christmas Candace pretending to be City Candace. Oh no, I'm giving the movie away. Or this is Christmas Candace pretending to be City Candace, but people know that she's not City Candace. Like, it was...
Right.
It was tough.
Right.
It was, yeah.
So Chris was the Dowdy Candace, and Kate was the Fabulous Candace.
Yes.
Okay.
So then we see Dowdy Candace, Kate, Chris, and she's making breakfast, and she's making, like, this huge breakfast, right? And then we see Fabulous Candace, and she's making a smoothie, mm-hmm. like a green smoothie, which is what I have smoothies for breakfast.
So, well, you're fabulous.
Right, exactly. So then we see Dowdy Candace, Chris, waking up her kids. We see, I guess they're packing lunches, and then we see, Dowdy Candace.
The boy looks like he OD'd when she wakes him up. He's like sprawled out on the bed.
He's like 10.
then we see Fabulous Candace, and she's making her lunch, and she brings, like, tofu and a salad.
Yuck.
Very nice.
Ew.
And then the way that they made it known to the audience that there were twins is a picture falls down, and she picks up the picture, and they're both in the picture.
Oh yeah, big reveal.
So then, you know, Fabulous Candace is our typical Hallmark Channel heroine. She's an executive, and she's very busy. Very busy, because they're always busy. And so the not Fabulous Candace, Chris, she's a teacher. And then we see Kate, and she's in the elevator with a hot guy. She goes into her office. Of course, she has her sassy black friend, Emily.
Mm-hmm. I felt like Emily could have been sassier.
She could have been, yes.
They could have given her just, like, a smidge more to do in the movie.
Like, I could have seen Emily played by Wanda Sykes, and it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Or Jack Hay.
Jack
Hay. Or Jack Hay.
Yeah, this woman actually looked a little bit like Jack Hay.
She did. Because Emily...
A little bit, yeah.
Because the one thing that was missing from Emily was, like, she had chances to give a lot of looks that she didn't jump on.
Were you guys confused watching this movie? Like, granted, the plot, the premise is confusing because they're switching identities, but, like, they should have differentiated what the two looked like a little more other than just, like, oh, one's frumpier and one's nice, because sometimes the frumpy one would dress up a little nicer, and sometimes the city one would be a little more casual.
Yeah.
And it's, like, maybe just, like, a wig.
I didn't think the two of them were that much different,
That's
really.
My point. That's my point, is they were so similar that it was really hard in some scenes to figure out, like, wait, which one am I watching right now?
Yeah, I just got confused with note-taking. Like, I had to stop and go, oh, wait.
Yeah, which one is this now?
Yeah, and they go... And they pretty quickly go back and forth with scenes with these people also. Yeah. Or maybe you know just...
You know what I like about this movie? And I'll get into it a little later. People were not stupid in this movie. There was a potential for stupid people.
Yes.
And people weren't stupid in this.
But I think
what
you're talking about, which we'll get to soon, I think when that happens, though, even though it makes them not stupid and I sort of enjoy that, it also kneecaps the comedic potential of the premise.
True.
Yeah. The movie might be more interesting if they weren't catching on.
Yeah.
So quickly sometimes.
So Kate is called into her boss's office, and she has a bitchy boss. She's a bitch. And
oh, yeah. This has become a common thing, too. It's the brunette.
Yes.
That's the bitchy one. Yeah.
I think that's always bitchy been a brunette. Trope in movies.
Yeah?
It's like the pretty blonde is the nice one, and they always make the mean one either a brunette or, like, if they're like, nasty, then they make it a redhead.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what's been happening for years.
Right.
Right.
So we find out that Kate's coworker got a book deal or sold a book, and the book, like, was a hit. So she quit. And so she was the one that was in charge of the company Christmas party. And now that this woman quit, the bitchy boss made Kate. She put Kate in charge of the Christmas party and basically took away her account so that she could focus on the Christmas party.
Which is absurd.
Exactly.
And I know these movies are in general, but this is a huge, like, real estate development company, and they're going to take the project manager off of this massive project coming up because they're like, you know, we're having a party here and somebody has to order the balloons.
Right.
Yeah, you can't hire someone else to do that. There aren't, like, event managers or something like that.
It turns out it's a whole career.
Right. And then one thing that I noticed, because we cut to Chris, and she's talking to her sassy black boss, and so both Kate and Chris were talking to black people at the same time.
Yes. But they were, it was to balance out the movie to show that these are the only two black people you're going to see the entire time you watch this thing.
But at least he was her boss.
Yeah, well, that's right. He could fire her. Yeah, this keeps happening also. Oh, that's right, because the first one, the city one, she has a black woman as her assistant.
Yeah. Right.
But the country one,
the black guy's her boss.
Tables are turned.
So then we find out.
Yeah.
The principal tells Chris that some benefactor donated a bunch of money to them, like gave them a check because his kid was going to be starting that school. And so...
Is this kid going to be on the rowing team? Or
right.
Is that how this is going to work?
Nice callback, Kurt. Kudos.
Oh.
Kudos.
Oh.
What's that called? Crew? Is that what it's called?
Right.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Crew?
That trial should be coming up soon, right?
Is when Crew she... another cousin of Dream?
Right. Oh, that's the next kid.
Yeah, there's True and there's Crew.
Dream?
What is Lori Loughlin's trial?
That's right. Yeah, Dream's favorite cousin is True and the next cousin is Crew?
Yes.
Right.
I like that you just got that.
Well, I don't know. People are going in and out. The audio is going in and out, so as well as my thoughts and desires. Yes.
Oh. So they have this check, and so they were going to meet the benefactor. Meanwhile, Chris's dad shows up, and he invites Chris to brunch. Right. And then we see Chris, and she goes into, like, this art room, and she's looking at these paintings, and she's looking very sad. And I wrote, the dad looked like Jerry Van Dyke. But it wasn't Jerry Van Dyke, was it?
No. I feel like we've seen this guy in stuff before, but I didn't bother to look it up. And
like, I think he was a king or something in one of the movies.
Really? I thought he looked... At first, I thought he looked like Martin Landau. Pull the strings! And then I thought he looked like Jerry... Gary Marshall.
Oh, yeah, he looked like yeah, he definitely looked like Gary Marshall.
Like, he was in that vein. So it's brunch time, you know, I could be lured with a brunch too. And both of the girls, Fabulous Candace and Dowdy Candace, show up for this brunch. And the dad says, I made a promise to your mother, who is dead.
Oh, sorry. I was looking up who the dad was. Sorry. Oh, I failed everyone. Wait. Say it again, Les.
Oh, no.
The dad said, I made a promise to the mother, who is dead.
I see dead people.
that
it was worth the wait.
I feel ashamed.
Who is the dad?
I haven't gotten that far because I See Dead People. Wait, hold on. Switch for Christmas. This is it. Let's look. Cast.
Who's the daddy? Who's your daddy? Who is
Walter
this man?
Walter Platts. Let's see what he's been in. Walter Platts.
What's his name? Walter Platts?
Walter Platts. Not Walter Matthau.
Walter keeps coming up today. No. Walter Cronkite.
Wait. Oh, we have seen him before. He played the mayor in that movie, Jingle Bell.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't remember.
With what's her name?
Was that the one with Tatiana Ali?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
So the dad's like,
he's the mayor. I think I do remember it.
So the dad's like, okay, I'm leaving you girls to have your sister brunch. Have fun. And so they get in the elevator and they're having like an awkward conversation. And we find out that Chris, Dowdy Candace, is divorced. But they don't say the word divorce.
No, they don't.
She says her husband is moving on, and he's actually marrying someone else, her ex-husband.
Yeah, they referred to her ex.
Oh, yeah. So they have to be divorced.
Well, not necessarily.
His name is Blake.
I mean, there are some Mormons in Colorado, aren't there? Who knows?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
So they're talking about their jobs. And they're both talking about them being stuck with Christmas parties, and Fabulous Candace is like, I can't believe I've got to do this Christmas party. It's so hard. And Dowdy Candace is like, well, yours sounds easy, but mine is really hard. And they were both having this my life is so hard conversation. And then Fabulous Candace is like, oh, you know what? I could do what you do. Let's switch places. Because she basically was like, you know, Candace, Dowdy Candace, you're just like a housewife housewife who works at a school and you don't dress up. You wear sweats all the time. That would be easy. And then Dowdy Candace to Fabulous Candace is like, oh yeah, well, you just go to an office and sit at a desk all day. That's easy. So they decide.
There's also a point.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, there's also a point where Fabulous Candace, she says, you know, I haven't been on a date in a long time. At least we have that in common.
Right.
I thought that was kind of rude.
Shade.
She doesn't know what her sister's up to.
Yeah.
Well, she's right. She wasn't wrong. Totally right.
Yeah, but she didn't know that for sure. They haven't spoken in a while.
Wow. She just thought I'd throw that sister shade.
For all she
there.
Knows, Dowdy Candace may have started a sex cult in the suburbs. You don't know.
That's true. She could be a swinger.
Yeah.
So they decide, okay, let's do this. We're going to switch places. So they go into the bathroom, and they switch places, except Doughty Candace couldn't fit into Fabulous Candace's slacks because they were a size 2. And I loved how when they switch places, all of a sudden, Doughty Candace, who was now Fabulous Candace, her hair was curly, even though they had no curling iron.
Why did they have to do this in a bathroom?
Because they're in a restaurant.
Okay. They couldn't make arrangements to begin this somewhere else.
They were ready to go. Right. They were ready to switch it up right now.
Strike while the iron's hot.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah, you don't want to.
So they switch places, and I wrote, "The caper begins." And you know how I love
it. And what a caper. Yeah. Okay. You like a good one? I like a good one.
So
I like a good caper.
So Doughty Candace, who's pretending to be Fabulous Candace, drops her purse. And the hot guy, Greg, helps her. And he knows who she is, but she doesn't. Oh, because they both give each other notes. So they both have, like, notes on what to do. But so he knew who she was, but she didn't know who he was. And then
we also forgot to mention that when they were, like, making this plan to do the switch, they make a reference to the last time they did a switch was when they were, like, teenagers or whatever. And they refer to it as the infamous Tom Kinder fiasco.
Right.
Which will play a part soon.
Because.
So. Right. Oh, no. I just was going to say. I mean, apparently there was no. I going back to the bathroom thing, and maybe I shouldn't harp on that. But they apparently went somewhere and, you know, wrote all these notes, did all this preparation. Couldn't they have done the changeover in the room where they were doing the – I know. Anyway, couldn't they have done the changeover in the room where they're working on the notes as opposed to the bathroom?
Well, you know what? Okay, so think about it this way. They were at brunch, so there were probably mimosas and Bloody Marys involved. So that probably had something to do with it.
I think I can answer both of you. I think it's very possible they did the notes in the restaurant as well because they were a little boozy. And they're like, yeah, let's just go in the bathrooms, change now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm satisfied.
Let's do it.
And just narratively, they needed a scene where we physically see on screen, oh, the change is happening. Because, frankly, they could have just ended up in each other's homes and nobody would have questioned it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So then so Doughty Candace, who's now pretending to be Fabulous Candace, she's at school. Oh, wait, no. Fabulous Candace, who's pretending to be Doughty Candace.
See? It's hard.
Fabulous Candace is at school, and the principal walks in with a cute guy. He's cute. And they both look at each other, and there's, like, the music goes, like, bling, 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 bling. Yeah, so something was up.
He's like a TV movie version of Paul Rudd, this guy.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd.
I like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's hot.
Yeah.
I'm totally into Paul Rudd.
But this isn't real Paul Rudd. This is like the San Diego Comic-Con imposter version of Paul Rudd.
Right, exactly. So they're looking at each other, and it gets really awkward. And he's like, oh, you know, have we met? And he's looking at her, and she's like, oh, maybe you met my sister. I have a twin. And so then we find out he's the benefactor. And the benefactor is Tom.
Tom Kinder.
Tom Kinder is the benefactor.
Tom Kindergarten.
Of the infamous Tom Kinder fiasco.
Right.
And his son comes in, his son Dylan, who looks like he's getting special treatment already.
Right. which, you know, there were a few palms that were greased, so this was expected.
For what is seemingly a public school, right?
Yes.
This wasn't even like a private school where, like, they can really treat you that much better. This is just a regular old public school in a small town.
Right.
I think Dylan will be getting the lead in the school play this year.
Right.
He will also be the prom king, and he will be valedictorian.
Right.
That's it.
Why are all these activities happening at the school where we are told when they're coming up with the scheme, the school is already out on break?
Oh. Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because they were trying to justify like how they could get away with this, and we, what do you call it? Fabulous Candace, it says that the kids are going to be with their dad, and Schlubby Candace or whatever you called her mentions that she won't need to teach because the school's out on break.
Right. You.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Oh, so they're talking, they're having their little meeting, and they wanted to continue on. And so the principal volunteers Dowdy Candace's house. Yeah. Like, we're coming to your house.
They just pimped her out.
Right. Tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Your house.
Clean that house, lady. We're not meeting in some kind of meeting. There's no space in the school. Sorry. I know we're on break, but no empty rooms. We're going to your house. You better cook.
Right. And so then we cut to the office.
Looks like.
And Dowdy Candace, who's pretending to be Fabulous Candace, is looking through files. Right. And then Emily walks in, and Emily kind of feels that something's up, and it gets a little shady. And then Hot Guy Greg comes to her office. And, because when he returned something because when she dropped stuff out of her purse, she forgot something. And so he comes to her office to return what she dropped, and she goes to stand up, and she hits her knees on the desk. And I've done that before, and that is, it's painful.
It hurts.
And so they're talking about planning the Christmas party, and he tells her, you know, make sure you don't have Poetry Slam Santa back. And he's laughing, and I guess apparently it was a thing that Kate's supposed to know about. And she just says, oh, I blocked it out.
Do you think Poetry Slam Santa is in any way related to Soul Patch Santa from last week's movie?
Probably.
Soul Patch. Oh, yes, I remember that. That was weird.
Nosy. Yeah, he was a creep.
Probably. Okay, wait, I have here secure location ASAP, but I forgot who had to do that.
Oh, that was secure. That was Schlubby Candace, or that was Christmas Candace posing as City Candace, as instructed to by Fake Jack A.
Right.
Heinous Candace and
that was trash bag Candace having to help out Candace made of platinum.
Pail Kid Candace.
Oh my gosh. That, they need to make those for the holiday. That's the new Hallmark
and
ornament.
Cabbage Patch Kid Candace. Yeah.
Oh, so then they're FaceTiming each other. And she's talking about, like, they're relaying the internet from when they were kids, when they switched the first time. And she was like, oh, do you like Tom? Do you like him? Is it an Insta crush? And they're talking, and then they're talking about switching back. But then, Fabulous Candace, who's pretending to be Dowdy Candace, is like, no, let's keep it going.
This yeah, they almost
fun.
Quit.
Right. And then Dowdy Candace, who's pretending to be Fabulous Candace, is like, I don't know. And then Hot Greg walks by, and she's like, oh, okay, I'm in. I'm in. So then Dowdy Candace goes to Fabulous Candace's apartment, and it's fabulous. Fabulous Candace goes to Dowdy Candace's house. It's very Christmassy and Dowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog walks in and growls because the dog knows that something's up.
Happy the dog.
And then the kids walk by Dowdy Candace, and the kids are just like, they just blow her off. And then I wrote, it's the next day. Dowdy Candace wakes up in Fabulous Candace's bed. Fabulous Candace wakes up to this annoying alarm. And then it was time to pick the outfits. So they're both looking at outfits. You know, Dowdy Candace is like, oh my God, look at Fabulous Candace's wardrobe. And Fabulous Candace is going, ugh, look at, I gotta wear this shit.
Were you upset that there was no makeover montage in a moment that could have obviously benefited from one?
No, because I do like a twin changeover. So that kind
of...
I like a twin changeover.
Okay, so that made up for this.
Yes. Yes. Makeover montages have their place.
So you like this... You're in this, so into this twin thing that this movie... I think this was an easy sell for you, this movie.
Well,
the movie,
you know,
movie didn't have to try.
You know, I mean, because there's, you know, like, remember Parent Trap? Soap operas always have twins who pretend to be twins.
All the time, yeah.
All the time. Or the one twin kidnaps the other twin and locks them in the basement and takes over their life. And, like, screws their husband.
Tale is all this time.
So, you know, so I'm in, so I, the, yeah, the twin thing is good.
When they were waking up in each other's homes, it dawns on me in this moment that Christmas Country Candace is a terrible mother for just totally abandoning her kids to just like do this fun twin switch.
Right. Well, yeah. You know,
she thinks the kids are going to go. She thinks the kids are supposed to go with the ex-husband for the week.
Right.
But
she's
even
wrong.
To do it like overnight and not tell him, like, so in that moment, I was like, oh, this is horrible.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
So Fabulous Candace has this list of breakfast that she needs to make for the kids. And then Dowdy Candace opens up Fabulous Candace's refrigerator, and I was like, oh, that looks like my refrigerator. Like smoothies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fabulous Candace like burns, like she's trying to make this breakfast. It looks like crap. She burns the bacon. And then the kids walk in and order her around like she's a waitress.
Yeah. They kept like, give me this milk, that milk. And I'm thinking, you're big enough to just walk to the refrigerator yourself, right?
Exactly.
These kids were rude.
And then
they need a... Black China's mom is their mom for a while. They need to switch around so that Tokyo Tony's their mom.
Tokyo Tony would
their mom. That's right. They'd learn a lesson.
Seriously, Tokyo Tony does not play. Oh, so then when Fabulous Candace is like, your dad's coming to pick you up, the kids are like, well, dad can't take us. He's canceled. So we're going to be at home all week. And then Fabulous Candace is like, oh, shit, what am I going to do with these kids? So she goes to call Dowdy Candace, and then the kids are like, oh, guess what, bitch? We already know that you are not our mother. Ha! Boom!
Yeah, then these kids all of a sudden get excited.
And I wrote the kids all of a sudden get cool. Like, I like
them.
They
do. Yeah. They seem like they're burned out on Ritalin, and then all of a sudden they liven up. They get a little excited.
Yeah.
And they become these cool kids. Like, I like them.
This is the moment where I was like, oh, the movie, this could have been funny. Like, her trying to deal with these kids. Like, that's clearly the implied premise of this movie is them switching, right, and people are going to confuse them. And they're going to be expected to do things that they normally wouldn't be able to do. But they cut themselves off the kneecaps because now the kids know that that City Candace isn't Christmas Candace. So there's no hijinks to ensue.
But
I don't see the point. And Les, you have to agree. There's so many missed opportunities here.
No, I do agree. They could have kept the shenanigans. What I think would have been interesting, actually, is if the kids figured out that she was the aunt,
yes,
but only because the kids knew her. Yeah. Not because the mom told.
Absolutely. Yeah, that absolutely. Like, yeah. When they said they knew, like the moment they said that, I was like, oh, they figured it out. Of course they did, because, you know, they know what their mom is like. But the fact that the mom told them, I'm like, well, why?
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. And the kids could have, like, ordered her around and stuff, and then, like, halfway through the movie be like, oh, yeah, we've known the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what was the point of them? They didn't have to know right away.
But
I think they probably had a note for what I said earlier of, like, Candace is abandoning her kids. What a terrible mom. Like, they probably figured they needed to justify her being terrible by making her not terrible.
Because this is Hallmark, after all.
Well, I wonder if it's a morality. I wonder if it's a morality thing that Hallmark has.
Okay.
Because the premise of the movie is very devious. And so they make it like as they just softball it, which, I mean, basically taking any kind of fun out of it, as far as I'm concerned. So
okay,
they have a very devious premise.
Did you guys ever see that miniseries from the 80s called Deceptions, starring Stephanie Powers as twins?
No.
Not?
Okay. So
Just picturing the outfits, and that sounds amazing.
Okay, so they were twins. Stephanie and Sabrina. And so Stephanie was a dowdy housewife, and then Sabrina was a countess. So they switched places, and then Stephanie's like, you know, in this, you know, with counts and like having fun, running around Monte Carlo, and then Sabrina's at home, with Barry Bostwick, right, in this, like, college town.
Okay. Right.
So then Sabrina breaks her arm so they can't switch back.
Oh,
and
no.
And then Stephanie is on a yacht, and the yacht blows up, and Stephanie's dead, and Sabrina is trapped. That's a movie.
Well, none of those things happened in this movie. And should have.
No, there's no Barry Boswick and.
Oh, and
damn it, Janet.
And Brenda Vaccaro was the best friend. Brenda Vaccaro.
Would have loved some Barry Boswick in my life in this movie.
Damn it, Janet. I love you. I'm just saying it's a devious premise, and they're softballing because I think they're like, we don't want this to be too immoral. So everything has got to be on the up and up. But you can't do it. You can't have it both ways. You got to blow stuff up. You got to bring in Brenda Vaccaro. You got to bring in all the big guns that you can.
That's why, like, Lifetime, they're just like, we know that this makes no sense. So let's have fun
with
the fact that it makes no sense.
We were so close to watching Killer Grandma, and over at Killer Grandma, they aren't throwing softballs.
No, they are not.
Probably throwing knives.
Fabulous Candace, who's pretending to be Daddy Candace, puts the kids to work. She's like, some things are going to change around here. You're going to do some chores.
Child labor.
Right. Well, the kids needed to do chores.
Yeah, I actually thought City Candace was a good influence on these kids' lives because Christmas Candace never made her kids do anything.
Right.
And they were fully capable.
These kids are brain dead, little spoiled kids.
She made them like a full breakfast every day.
That's right.
The girl had special yogurt. The kid didn't like 2% milk. They were like picky kids.
It's whole milk.
Oh, so then we're back at the office, and Dowdy Candace has her Christmas dream board.
Oh, boy.
And so then the sassy assistant is like, come on, and gives her a look. But then Hot Greg walks in and says, oh, it's a Christmas dream board.
And that's when she figured out he was gay.
No, I've never heard. I've heard of a vision board, a dream board.
Yes.
I think it's kind of the same thing.
Have you guys heard of that?
I think it's...
I have a vision board.
What would be on both of your Christmas dream boards?
A Christmas dream board? Okay, what? You go first, Les, because I don't know yet.
Like a Corvette, a boy band.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, so you're picking gifts? Because I think they were in this movie. The Christmas dream board was like the most amazing
boy band.
Things that make you think of Christmas that you could decorate for. Like it was a vision board about the magic of the holiday.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know what I'd have on a dream Christmas dream car.
So, what else happened?
He asked her to go shopping with her. He wants to go shopping. He says, let's go shopping.
For their nieces.
Yeah, for
his
nieces.
And what he thinks is City Candace's niece, but is actually Christmas Candace's daughter, because Christmas Candace is posing as City Candace.
Right. Yes. Meanwhile, back at Dowdy Candace's house, Fabulous Candace made the kids do the dishes.
She's wash the dishes because the dish. No, she doesn't want it. She says, "What are you doing?" She says, "Well, he's like the dishwasher's broken. Mom's been too busy." She should have said, "Doing what? Does she work at a school?"
Right.
She says, "Yeah, she's working hard at that school." And he slaps her in the face. I'm just trying to make it more interesting. But yeah, so she's like, oh no, you didn't. No, we're gonna fix that dishwasher.
Right.
She does.
Exactly. And she does. And then all of a sudden, Postmates shows up with cookies. because
who did?
A delivery. So
it was like delivery. Postmates. Yeah.
Oh, someone did, yeah.
Okay, I don't know that they have Postmates in this little town. Maybe they do. I mean, it's kind of everywhere, but
Uber Eats shows up, or
yeah.
Right?
No, and it was City Candace. She makes good money. She could probably have that Ubered in from the city.
So exactly, like Uber Eats.
That's like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, so then she recommends. Wait, was it Dowdy Candace or Fabulous Candace who recommended to get the niece a tour of the Denver Museum?
That was Dowdy Candace posing as Fabulous Candace.
Yeah, so either way, you're correct.
Yes, exactly.
So then we so then they're at the meeting. And they're talking about getting an ice rink. Chris Dowdy Candace almost messes up. And then she's in her meeting. And then the dad shows up and is like, Katie, what are you doing here? So the dad, so the jig was almost up.
Yeah,
right?
And Tom is in this meeting as well.
Right. Oh, yeah. Tom. Yeah, Tom is there. And this isn't this where they're talking about the ice rink And the person who wrote this movie obviously is not from LA.
Yeah, that annoyed me too.
I know that really bugged me.
Yeah. Basically, because in the movie, the how does this work? City Candace posing as Christmas Candace is talking to Tom, and who has apparently been living in LA, and she asks if they have any ice rinks in LA, and he says just this one. I forget where he said it was.
Oh, near the beach.
Oh, yeah. He said one near the LA will put up ice rinks all over the city. We have a bunch of them. And we have indoor ones, too.
Yeah. And so that really bugged me.
Yeah.
How does the ice stay cold?
From underneath, the same way they freeze it in an ice rink.
Yeah, and it's
the outside melts faster. Because I will tell you, one year I got a little itch, and I'm like, I want to go ice skating this year. It's like kind of fun that we have these outdoor ice rinks, and it's not that cold here in LA. So we went. The day we went, it was like 83. It just happened to be a really warm, like late November, early December day, and it was 83. We're out there in shorts ice skating.
Right.
Oh, cool.
So then she takes Dad outside. She's explained it to him. Listen, Dad, don't be an ass. Don't mess this up for me. The dad's like, oh, you're doing this again? Remember the last time you two switched? But the dad's actually cool. And the dad actually, you know, goes along with it. So then Tom is leaving because he's got to go pick up his kids. Oh, no, he's got to go pick up his kid.
Yeah, the one kid, Blake.
Right, he's one kid.
And so then she's explaining... Oh, then Dowdy Candace is explaining to... Okay, now I'm confused again. Candace is explaining to Hot Greg that they're identical twins.
They're doing no, he didn't. Oh, yeah, okay. What?
Yeah.
Well, she didn't explain to him what they're up to. She just said that they are.
No. Made a reference to her sister and... Oh, I think they were on the phone talking to each other, weren't they? And he walked in or something? He's right. Like, oh, wait, you're
not
twins?
Here.
Oh, that was another part of the movie?
Yeah, that happens later.
Oh, okay.
No, right now they're shopping, and Greg just offers to help with the Christmas party. Then the dishwasher's being fixed. Now we go back to the country house, because at this point it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
The dishwasher's being fixed, so Dowdy... Oh, I don't know who's who. The one who's playing Dowdy Candace serves the kids this green, she calls it green pressed juice.
Yeah.
So she has some of that.
And they have that. Make them drink it. It's good. I like green juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe they don't.
Well, you know.
Well, the little boy pushes the juice like an inch. He pushes it an inch away to indicate that he does not like it.
Yes.
Which is lame.
I thought he was pushing it towards the sister. Like, hey, you drink this.
Yeah. Not aggressively enough.
No.
I guess it's fine.
He should have thrown it in her face.
Thrown it in her face, thrown it in her hair, thrown it in the ceiling, gone out, fed it to Happy the dog. You know,
right.
Did the dog get billing in this movie? Because they didn't really other than just like they would occasionally show the dog. Like the dog didn't do anything, any tricks. The dog didn't, you know, like in some TV shows, they'll reference the dog and they'll say something to the dog and then the dog has a reaction shot. They had none of that.
Right.
No.
He did bring her a leash though.
He did what?
He brought her a release.
Oh, I thought you said he brought her a release, an on-camera release.
Do you think that Happy's agent is like, look happy. You're not going to be on screen much in this one, but they're going to give you above the title billing. What do you think?
Right.
Yeah. I think Happy's owners are in absolute shock about this whole situation.
Yeah.
No, that means that Happy has a good agent.
Yeah.
So,
Maybe. I'm not so sure.
So then there's going to be an event.
Yep.
Thank God. Oh, good.
In all Hallmark movies, there is an event. And
is there a killer grandma that shows up at some point? There's no grandma, is it?
No.
She tries to kill somebody?
There is no grandma.
I have to say two things. First of all, this movie had three events, we should point out, because there is the winter, what do they call that? The Winter Wonderland. There is the Lights Walk, which they refer to, and there is the big holiday party that's being planned.
I don't know which one's more exciting. That Lights Walk, why do we get to that?
And the other thing I was going to point out that I just now discovered is that
Happy
the Dog does have an IMDb page.
What else has Happy the Dog been in? Because I'm going to start getting very bitter about my career right now. What else is Happy the Dog?
Only two other credits. One of them is as his herself. Valentine and Adoption Ever After. Oh, so basically Happy was in one of these movies on Hallmark, because Happy was in one called Love at the Shore. And then Happy appeared in a Hallmark special about all of the Valentine's movies.
Right.
Well, there you go.
I've been up roles as Happy the Dog.
And there is nepotism at play, because Happy the Dog was abandoned on the streets of Los Angeles, California, and adopted by Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries president and CEO Bill Abbott. Happy the Dog serves as the ambassador of positivity for the network's popular Kitten Bowl and other kitten sports franchises.
Oh.
Just work this dog to death. So what happened? He was found on the street by the CEO of Hallmark. Is that what you just read?
Basically, yeah. The CEO of Hallmark adopted Happy. So I don't know if the CEO found Happy, but the CEO adopted Happy.
So basically, he won the lottery.
Yeah. Well, Happy the Dog is the dog equivalent of Little Orphan Annie if they weren't living in the Depression.
Right.
And had pupils.
Could the CEO of Time Warner please adopt me? I'll get all the paperwork straight.
Well, you'll need to get the CEO of AT&T or DirecTV. Who owns AT&T?
Well, who's got HBO? Who owns HBO now?
Okay, AT&T.
Is it
because AT&T owns Time Warner.
I guess I could get the CEO of HBO, but there's probably one of those too.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to aim higher. All right.
So
this is going nowhere.
The dad's actually a cool dad. So
yeah.
The dad Kurt? Actually invites Tom to go along. And so they go to the event, and then Dowdy, I wrote here, Dowdy and hot guy Greg exchange ideas, and then she comes up with, hey, let's get a Christmas wish tree, and so,
who's hotter, Greg or Tom?
Greg.
Notice no hesitation on either of our parts.
That was funny.
Who did you find hotter?
Tom even come close?
No. He's cute.
Tom, yeah, he's cute. Okay.
Like, I wouldn't kick Tom out of bed. In fact, I'd probably invite Tom into bed. But Greg, I would use, like, one of those giant fisherman nets to capture him and drag him to the bed first, actively.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Hmm.
So,
Or a Mr. Softy van. I would attract him with a right. Mr. Softy ice cream truck.
Well, that would work on me. Yeah. Mr. Softy.
Okay.
I'm wearing a Mr. Softy shirt, by the way, for people at home. I really am.
Tom's talking about how he moved from L.A., and they're chatting, and they're talking about, like, Denver, and she's like, oh, my God, Denver's so far, and he's like, it's only an hour away. That's nothing. So then the kid, I like this part because they're there and the kid's going, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she's not turning around.
Yeah.
And then she realizes, she's like, oh, he's talking to me.
That was weird.
I like this movie because it was the first time that I can recall where a Hallmark movie wasn't shaming people for wanting to live and work in the city.
No, not at all.
It was kind of like, yeah, if you want to do that, that's fine. Go, you do you.
Right, exactly. So then Dowdy is saying to Greg, they're talking about baking, right? And then fabulous Candace calls. Because Greg left. Greg was leaving, and he was like, I'm going home. And so then they're FaceTiming, and Greg walks back into the room. And he's like, oh, I forgot something. Oh, you two really do look alike. And then Fabulous is like, what's Greg doing in my house?
She got really jealous.
I don't
know. He says, what do you think?
And if this were a Lifetime movie, Christmas – wait, which, City Candace would then plot to murder Christmas Candace.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I also get why Fabulous Candace was mad because she's like, I don't want coworkers in my house. Like, I don't want them knowing where I live.
Yeah.
Don't you have coworkers like that that you don't want them knowing anything about you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But none of them look like Greg.
No, that's true. No, that's true. Greg can come over anytime.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell your husband.
This goes against employee standards. Okay.
I could be like, because I like my husband's at work.
Like, if I worked with Greg,
not anymore.
I would basically use the line, oh, HR will understand.
Right. No, my husband has an office job now, so Greg can easily come over.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, good.
Not so easily now that you're broadcasting it to the world on this podcast.
Sounds like your husband does not listen to the show. That's big news.
But you know what, though? I bet if he got a look at Greg, he'd forgive me.
Yeah, John, you would understand.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And so then...
Loophole.
So then they're talking, and Fabulous is saying, Dowdy, listen, we can't mess this up. We can't sleep with these guys.
I don't think she said romance. That. This is a Hallmark movie.
Okay, so no romance.
Yeah, no romance.
Did they kind of argue, like, did one of them understand if one was with Greg, but the other one's like, look, you could pass up Tom, but I can't, you know. But no. Greg. I mean, because the way you guys are talking, this is the way I think this should be discussed.
Yes. Okay. So then,
all right. What's happening next?
Oh, so then, like the kid's going out to a movie or something, and so then Fabulous Candace is like, here's some money to go to the movies to buy popcorn. Don't buy soda. And then the kid The kid wants to take a Christmas selfie, and then he invites Fabulous Candace to join them in the selfie. So then office.
The line about the soda, I don't know if this is my imagination I'm projecting here, but I took that because she basically shames the kid for drinking a soda, and he responds, I'm 10, I have time to get it out of me. I forget how he responded, but it was basically like, hey, I'm 10, calm down, as if to say to the sponsors of this movie, yeah, Coca-Cola, we're just joking. It's okay. You can drink some soda now. It's all good.
Just kidding.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's probably true. Boy, that's lame, though.
Yeah, well.
What a movie with such soft edges. There's no edge to this.
These are Mr. Soft.
I need Abel Ferrara to direct. Paul Schrader needs to rewrite this movie. Abel Ferrara can direct it. That's what I want. I don't want any more.
I would love to see a Paul Schrader directed Hallmark movie.
That's right. I don't want any more of this pussyfooting around. I'll put up the money. We'll make this movie for $200.
Right.
I mean, if you had your way, the two Candaces would be involved in a 4G with Greg and Tom.
Oh no, Greg and Tom are out. I'm in there. I give myself a role. It's me and Happy the dog, and the ladies. It's a foursome. Happy can watch. He's like a voy. He's like a voyeuristic animal.
Oh, he totally is.
That's some movie, huh, guys? Who wants to finance that? Anybody out there?
The final shot of the movie is Mr. Happy driving that Mr. Softy van.
Yes, that's right. Takeaway here is it's good to create opportunities for yourself. See, I just created an opportunity for myself.
Right, exactly.
That's how you make it in show business. Oh, that's good. I needed a second wind.
So we're back at the office, and Hawkeye, like, they're doing the Secret Santa, and so yeah. Hawkeye invites Dowdy Greg out, and she says no.
You want to go out, Daddy?
And then Fabulous Candace is walking her dog, walking Happy, and they run into Tom. And someone was talking about buying a dog, and then she's like, adopt, don't shop. And then, so then we're back at the office again, and then the sassy assistant's like, holy shit, Jasper's here, and he wants to meet with you. And Dowdy Candace is like, what? Who's Jasper, and what do I do? So she calls Fabulous Candace. And Fabulous Candace is like, you can't mess this meeting up. You have to take this meeting. Put in a Bluetooth, and I'm going to guide you through this.
This has potential.
So
potential, yes.
Right.
Not realized.
So then they're doing the meeting, and she talks her through the meeting, and she's like fucking up left and right. And the boss is looking at her like, what the hell is your problem? And
not really. She's not really messing up too much.
Well, she's stumbling a lot.
Like, she starts ad-libbing. Like, she... That's basically what she does.
And she's ad-libbing, but she's ad-libbing enough to, like, for it to be a problem.
And she says the apartment building should be more family friendly. She's like, have a bigger kitchen. You know, look, they can't. It's all Christmas related too. Like, there's no suspicion that Jasper might be Jewish. He might be someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas. Nope. It's everything is like, look, you want to have a kid. You want to have a Christmas kitchen. You want to be able to see your kids climbing the Christmas tree. You know, and he loves it. He loves it. He says, Merry Christmas indeed. Chelsea Clinton's new kid is named Jasper. Just wanted to add that.
And then on General Hospital, there's Jasper Jax. He's a venture capitalist.
And that name really annoys me because years ago I went to a Super Bowl party and there was a little kid there named Jasper, like a little toddler. And the guy who was hosting the party, like every 5 minutes or whatever, he would say, "Hi, Jasper." And so I just can't stand that name. Hi, Jasper.
Jasper.
It really got under my skin. And there's like a town in Canada, Jasper. Oh.
I feel like the next Lifetime killer movie is going to be you. And you're mistaken for a guy named Jasper and you just go on a murdering spree.
We're learning a lot about me.
Yes, we are, Kurt. Yes, we are, Kurt. So then we have a Christmas montage. And then she's talking, like at one point, Fabulous Candace is talking to the principal, and she's talking about like this ice house in Norway, which I've heard about. Like it's really a thing.
Yeah.
And so the principal doesn't like the plans because it's too sophisticated.
Mm.
But then Doughty Candace's boss doesn't like her plans because it's not sophisticated enough.
Class warfare.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But Hawkeye Greg sticks up for her. And they're commiserating, they're eating ice cream on the phone, and Fabulous Candace gets an idea, right? And then what does she do? Because Tom then says, it reminds me of the ice hotel in Norway. Like, they were, like, on the same page.
It was just, like, the blue and it was being described, or even what he saw was like, oh, with the blue and the white, I see what you're doing here. And it reminds me of this place in Norway. She's like, I've been there, too.
No. He went there. Wait, I heard a cat. Then, that's not my cat.
Oh, that's my cat.
Oh, that's your cat. No, I think they were talking about, because she said she travels. Oh, no, yeah, you might be correct, yeah. But they were talking about, like, traveling alone.
Right.
Yeah, they both mentioned the house in Norway a few beats earlier in the scene, and then later he mentions that her design looks like this place in Norway. She's like, I've been there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we find out that Tom is divorced, and he uses the word divorce.
Uh-huh.
And I was very shocked.
Oh, he
did?
But
you know what I noticed?
Okay.
A man said the word divorce, not a woman.
Oh. Good point.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and Jason, I forgot to mention something, because I watched this movie, I recorded it and watched it. And you are right. You know what you have been saying all along about Christmas ornaments?
Oh, yeah. It totally was front and center in this movie.
Like, every other commercial was a Christmas ornament commercial.
Yeah.
For Hallmark.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the scenes in this movie where they would, like, be decorating a tree, they were done, like, the way they were filmed looked different than the rest of the movie. Like, when they were decorating the tree at Doughty Candace's house, it was all, like, a little more soft focus, and they had this giant cart that the ornaments were all, like, perfectly laid in. It looked like a giant, you know, those, like, toolboxes on wheels with all the drawers? It looked like one of those, but it housed Christmas ornaments. I'm sure that's something Hallmark sells.
Right. Oh, so then while Tom and
I want a Hallmark movie that takes place in a crack house.
That could happen in your Paul Schrader movie.
No, I want this in a Hallmark movie. I want to see the bleak side of life.
Oh, they would even.
By the way, they're also working on a gingerbread house. I don't know if it was necessary to skip over that, but Greg and one of the Candaces are working on a gingerbread house.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he is an architect, so he's going to be able to design what it should look like.
And then she's like, why aren't you married? And he's like, I haven't met the right woman yet.
I think the gingerbread house is a clue.
Right, I was going to say, I haven't met the right woman yet. That's what Liberace used to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. He used to say that to Merv Griffin. Merv Griffin used to ask him that.
Right.
Weren't you married yet, Liberace? I just haven't met the right girl.
I'll do that in a big fur. Like a big fur coat.
Boy, Merv Griffin was a little clueless.
Merv Griffin,
maybe it was Mike
gay
Douglas.
Too,
I forget.
Allegedly.
Yeah, he is. I actually know an older gay man who apparently has had sex with him.
Ew, with Merv Griffin.
I mean, this is a long time ago. Back with
him. I don't know. I think I did read that somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't out.
He wasn't really in, though.
John Davidson. John Davidson was on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, and he mentioned something about Merv Griffin being gay. I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those open secrets.
Yeah, like, it was the equivalent of, like, that uncle that everyone has that the whole family knows about, but you don't really talk about it except that one time a year somebody brings it up.
Right, exactly.
But he loved the Gabors.
Well, I love the Gabors. I'd hang out with him, too. With Zsa Zsa and Eva.
Maybe that was him telling the world by saying that. I don't know.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then the party starts, and then it's an ugly sweater party, which at first the boss was not into, but then the boss shows up at the party, and she's like, you know what? Actually, I was wrong. This is a great idea. I even wore an ugly sweater. This is fun. And then...
the sweater lights up.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah, and then the sassy black girl...
I like these sweaters.
The sassy black lady is looking at Candace like, who are you? Like, you know, like you love Christmas all of a sudden. What's up with that? And so then... It's Secret Santa time, and then Hot Greg tries to kiss Candace.
He didn't try, he did, didn't he?
Oh, that's right, he did.
It was a little bit of an aggressive move.
It actually was.
Yeah.
It actually was.
For Hallmark.
And then she, on the other hand, fesses up and says, I'm my twin sister. This is what's going on. And she totally just spills the beans. And then we cut back to...
Well, also, Greg was her secret Santa.
Yes.
And so he bought her paintbrushes.
Yes. Oh, it was very nice because she likes
to paint.
It's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Look like... What was the cost limit in the secret Santa? That looked like it cost like $3.
Well, probably $20.
You could buy good brushes that cost...
For paintbrushes?
Yeah, because the thing is, it's similar to like makeup brushes, the bristles, cheap ones, the bristles will just come out and it'll mess up your painting. So you need like good ones that are like just the right amount of softness and thickness and that the bristles stay in so that you can actually continue and paint.
Right.
Oh, so he got some nice stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Fabulous Candace. And Tom is liking her, and Tom asks her out. But before she could answer, Dowdy Candace shows up, and she's like, hey, come here, like she's hiding. So then the two sisters are together, and they're talking, and we find out that the reason why Fabulous Candace doesn't come home is because it reminds her of her mother.
Oh, yeah.
I see dead people.
There they are.
And then...
By the way, before the two Candaces were reunited, when Doughty Candace as Fabulous Candace is spilling the beans to Greg, she's like just spouting all these things, and she literally says, we swapped places, and it doesn't matter why, we just did. Which is basically the log line of this movie.
We just did.
Yeah, we saw a place. It doesn't matter why. Like, we'll figure out the details later. We just did.
Yeah.
So then... Hot Candace meets up with Tom, but then Hot Guy Greg doesn't know that she's not Dowdy Candace, and he walks up and he totally like kisses her. And then Tom gets upset because then she fesses up too. I'm a twin. This is what's up. And so then Tom gets upset. Then we cut to the house and the family's together, the twins, the kids, dad, they're all together. We find out that he found Christmas gifts that the mom had hidden away. And that's what inspired him to create the sister brunch in the first place. And so they opened their gifts, and the mom got them both ice skates.
Yeah, and so I would like you two to consider this piece of plot. So we're led to believe that the mom would hide Christmas gifts all around the house, so many gifts, they would forget about them. And she bought them ice skates. And they talk about how these girls loved to ice skate when they were younger. Do you mean to tell me that the next time these girls went ice skating that Christmas, where the mom bought them the ice skates, and they went ice skating and they put on their dumpy old ice skates, that it didn't dawn on mom, oh yeah, we probably should have pulled those out of the attic.
Right.
So
exactly.
Is that the point in time when the mom died?
It probably was.
Well, it's possible. It's possible she just died. There it is again. I don't want to interrupt that. Yeah. It's possible she just died. Like right before the movie started, she's dead.
No,
so these skates were meant for them this Christmas. Because also you can think, well, when did she buy these skates? Like years and years ago?
Oh, you're saying mom knew that they were a bit estranged too, so she's like, I'm going to buy skates to bring them back together, sort of like the Christmas shoes?
Right. Probably.
Maybe. I didn't say that, but that sounds good.
That is far too well thought out.
Okay, so the doorbell rings. The doorbell rings. It's Hot Greg.
Saved by the bell.
Right, and then Hot Greg is like, I'm in love with you. I don't care if you're a twin.
He doesn't care.
And then Fabulous Candace goes back to the Winter Wonderland, right? And she has her ice skates. She has her new ice skates. Mm-hmm. And so then she finds Tom, and they ice skate together.
Well, did she find Tom, or did Tom find her? Like, wasn't she just there because she just wanted to go out and be outside?
Oh, I guess he did find her.
Yeah.
And then she fesses up that when they were teenagers, the reason why she didn't, like, hook up with him or whatever was because it was her, like, they had switched places. And so then they kiss. The end.
Yeah, but... Well, because when they switched places years ago, she was waiting for she was waiting to go on a date with Tom. She was meeting up with somebody else, but it was they switched.
Right.
I like that Greg was explaining to Chris, and now we're using the names. He's like, I work with Kate all the time, and there's nothing. Like Kate,
right?
You. You're like Kate with a personality.
Well, I enjoyed this movie.
I didn't hate it.
I liked it.
No, I didn't like this one. I've expressed my displeasure throughout this entire podcast, and that's how I feel.
Okay,
I think there was much missed potential. I mean, yes, they could have rehashed the old stupid jokes we've seen from like movies from this over the years. But okay, at least just do that.
No, and I do agree that there were missed opportunities, for sure. For sure. But I mean, this movie, it wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't. Like, it was not the movie we watched last week, which was awful. All right.
Yes.
What was that one, though?
Husband
for Christmas. Oh, that was that stupid one with the weird Santa?
Vivica Fox, right. Soul I like Patch that more Santa, than... Eric Roberts, Sans sunglasses.
Right. Yes. Okay. I like that movie more than this.
Huh.
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding?
I really didn't like this one. I did not like this one. I thought it was boring. I thought it was flat across the board.
Oh my god. Okay, you guys. You know what I did?
What?
I started a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast Facebook group. We've had a page since the podcast has been going, but instead of a page, I have started a group. So I think I'm going to shut the page down and keep the group going. And okay. So if you're listening, join the group, A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast on Facebook.
Okay.
And of course, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or on Instagram as Les Kirkendall. Jason?
We should also mention that we have an Instagram for the podcast called Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. In there. And then I am on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Big Shot Jason, all one word.
Kurt?
Okay, last episode I said I was going to buy a computer. I have ordered a computer, so I'm going to really refine my social media. And it is a career resurgence for me. I appreciate all the people looking at my stuff. I know there are people looking, and I haven't updated anything. But if you look at campusmartiustv.com, you can watch my TV pilot, and I'll have a lot of stuff coming up in the future.
Great, and now that this group has Facebook group has been started, I'm making a commitment to really focus on our social media. Mm-hmm. So yes, I know we have listeners out there. You guys message me. So join the group. You can have chats, discussions, and of course, I've always said, if you guys have a movie that you want us to watch, recommend it, and I will do my best to find it.
Yeah, I would love to see chats starting where people are discussing, A, the movies that we're talking about and share their opinions about them, but then B, if one throws out an idea for a movie and see what everyone else thinks of it, who's seen it, who hasn't, that would be really fun.
Yeah, seriously. That would be fun. And I've made a commitment to step up our social media game for this podcast.
I'll be doing that as well.
That is my mission.
Sweet.
Anywho, gentlemen, I guess, Kurt, you got to go. What time is it there?
It is 10:44. I'm working tomorrow. Oh, am I allowed to say this? I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be on the set of Mr. Robots tomorrow.
Oh,
I didn't know they were still filming. I thought it was done.
Well, I'm going to be on the set.
Oh.
I don't think I'm allowed to say that. No, I can say it. Who cares? Yes. Well, I just can't say what I will see, what will happen. I'll be on the set.
And by the time this comes out, you will have already been done.
Yes. Big. Well, when they hire you for that show, they don't tell you that they're hiring you for Mr. Robot. But I know there's a code name.
Right.
And then, but somebody spilled the beans and they told me, oh, that's Mr. Robot. Oh.
Why are they so secretive about it?
I think it's because Rami Malek. Yeah. He just won an Oscar, so he's a higher profile now. So I guess.
Oh, see, I thought it might have been because there's a lot of not sci-fi elements of that show, but certainly spoilers and things like that for the mega fans, and maybe they don't want people to know what's happening.
Maybe.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe. Game of Thrones. I remember hearing Game of Thrones was very secretive about their stuff.
Well, I'm not saying any plot points. I'm not saying what the code name is. I'm just saying that I'm going to be working
that you're working,
Mr. Robot.
I'm
working on Mr. Robot.
One more thing before we go, please give us reviews. Mm-hmm. We would love you to review us.
Five stars.
A 5-star review is lovely. So
yes.
Like I said before, I know you guys like the show. You've been messaging. So, give us reviews as well. And
maybe I'll ask Rami Malek if he'd like to come on the show.
Ask him. Actually, and I have people. We do have like some potential guests coming up.
Is one of them MC Scat Cat?
Right? Wouldn't you love that?
Well, I would so. I want Ellen Barkin. I want Ellen Barkin because she said Captain Kangaroo told her to go. Told her to go fuck herself.
I need to hear her story. I need to hear her story.
She said, "Don't make because there's a Mr. Rogers movie coming out." She said, "Don't make a movie about Captain Kangaroo." He told me to go fuck myself, and don't make a movie about Shari Lewis, who wouldn't shake my then 6-year-old son's hand.
And then someone in the comments on the Facebook post that I put. Well, her hand has a sock puppet on it. She can't shake his
hand.
That's
true.
Oh, that's a good point.
But yes, so
I would love
to hear Ellen Barkin's story. You can't just throw something out like that and not give details.
No. If anybody knows Ellen Barkin, but I'm gonna make a note. I'm gonna reach out to her.
Yes, please, because I need to hear this story.
I'm gonna write her name down.
Anyway, kids, I've gotta go. My husband is now home from work. Don't see anything about
time to edit
friend.
Yourself.
All right, I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
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 Bye-bye.